This week on Game Rushmore, virtual jobs. Welcome to Game Rushmore. My name is Josh, and with me to my right.
Oh, me. I'm sorry, Brandon.
And going around.
Mike.
And virtually.
Oh, Aaron.
Aaron.
It's me. You camera. Thought it was Fortnite on the Skype screen.
Mm-hmm. We thought Fortnite was with us today, but no, it was Aaron Lopez. How's everybody been doing?
I've been great.
Yep.
I've been painting.
No. Aaron has not been shaving, I can tell you that.
Oh, no.
Shaving is for lesser men. This is where Aaron gains his strength.
I have a job in tech support now. I don't do personal hygiene.
And you have a girlfriend. So
one of the qualifications.
So both those reasons to groom yourself are right out the window.
Yeah. Aaron's a made man now.
All set. It means you can...
Means he's ready to die.
Forget all pretenses of society at this point. I have not been playing anything new. I've been doing programming and stuff like that, but I haven't been playing anything.
Oh.
I've been looking into video game art and like artists I see on Twitter to be like, who would I want to do art for me? And it's kind of weird. Like, is there a particular style of art that you guys like to see?
In games?
In games, in like RPGs or anything along those lines?
No.
I think it depends on the tone and the setting.
Yes.
Like, it's not like one particular art style that I gravitate. It just depends on the overall vibe of the game.
I think that Elder Scrolls is very bland art. So don't do that.
I think Xenoblade was good.
Oh, but the second one's so
Xenoblade Chronicles Cross was super good. And then Xenoblade 2 is...
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's so bad. Those two characters, especially the girl, she's got like balloons attached to her. It looks so bad.
The game looks wonderful, and I'm going to play it, but I don't like the art style. So I just, if it's cartoony, it has to be pretty good.
I really like the Blizzard aesthetic a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I like every Final Fantasy. I don't think there's a Final Fantasy where I haven't disliked the art.
You mean graphically?
The art style, like the way the characters look and the world and everything.
Right, and this is what I'm thinking about this time. It's like character design, like it would even be, because my game's going to be, well, the thing I'm working on is currently like pixel art. I want to do pixel art type aesthetic. Mm-hmm. But then I want...
Pixel art's good.
But then I also want, I'm thinking... character portraits, or at the very least, character designs, because even Final Fantasy VI, like, those characters weren't designed in pixel art first. They were designed as characters first.
Right.
Or, you know, I meant all the older
Final
Fantasies.
Yeah, all that art is scanned and stuff, so.
They just scan it right in and shrink it down, and that's what you get. And no, they have something that they base their pixel art off of, and I was like, okay, well, an artist does the character designs. They don't necessarily need to make the pixel art that's of somebody else, but... Mm-hmm. Like, what aesthetic am I going for? And it's like the online, it's so interesting that it's, I really like that anime aesthetic, but if it's too anime, I don't want it.
Yeah, because it can get kind of trite.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I like about Blizzard, is it's like, especially Overwatch, it's almost anime, but it's not. It's got like a little bit of anime and a little bit of Disney and a little bit of kind of their own thing and little Joe Madureira in there. But... I just really like all the way all of their games look, and all of their games really stand out. Like, you can look at any Blizzard game, even though they're all across different genres, and you can say in one screenshot, that's a Blizzard game. And I do like that.
That's a Blizzard game. It's nothing but white.
White people.
No, that's not what, not what I meant. I meant a blizzard, like, you know, snow.
You can't see anything.
Yeah, except for a little brown dot.
I really like the art from a lot of earlier Capcom games, too, like the Street Fighter Alpha series.
Mm-hmm.
That art is amazing. Street Fighter 3 Third Strike has really, it has the coolest looking Ken of all Street Fighter.
And what's so distinctive about that Ken?
He just, I don't know. It's like hard to quantify like what I like about it. They just make him look, he just looks so cool. Like he's just kind of got like this smirk and they make him look older. And again, it's like, it's an anime aesthetic, but it's not like overly so. It just really stands out. It's just being really cool.
I like sharpness. I can tell you that I don't really like the look of Nintendo 3DS games. I wouldn't say 3DS games, but the type of Animal Crossing, the new one that came out that was by the Children of Mana people, the Oasis, Ever Oasis. Yeah, I think the characters look good, but the overall look of the game is very cartoony and I don't like it. It's very round and robust and puffed up, and you know,
yeah, I don't really, overly round, overly large,
yeah,
things like kind of like the Xenoblade that you're talking about,
yeah,
where it's like the armor is like the, it's armor just, not,
it's marshmallowy.
Mike was talking about balloons, but like it almost looks like it's inflatable armor on people where they're just moving around, they have big sticky things coming off of them.
Yeah, I like detail, I like, yeah, shadow, and
see, it's just a cool looking Ken.
See, listeners.
See listeners. It's a cool looking Ken.
So, what is everybody's? I want one character, and what is your favorite character design?
Okay, Aaron's
wise?
Putting up a Disgaea 5.
One character, Mister.
I want it as anime as possible.
It's the Disgaea 5 cover. There's little elf chicks and a dude with blue hair.
Name one character in all of video games.
In all of video games?
Yes.
Art-wise that I like?
That art-wise. Not even video game-wise, like concept
just
art.
Just pure design.
Yes, pure design.
Hmm.
Tracer for me.
Tracer.
From Overwatch.
As opposed to those other Tracers.
Well.
I guess in the future there could be other characters named Tracer.
She just looks cool.
Brandon's thinking about it.
Okay. Ni No Kuni... Drippy.
Yeah,
so the little
cool.
little mascot that follows you,
uh-huh.
It is so good. He's got a lantern for a nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his nose extends and then a lantern hangs from the nose. But when he follows you, he's just so funny to watch. And he has a way of moving.
Mm-hmm.
And his ambulation is even unique in its own. And if you spin around, he'll get kind of dizzy and then just tip over and fall like he gets dizzy. He is a great character.
I 100% agree with you, Brandon.
Thank you, Michael.
Aaron has...
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Aaron, tell us who's
the controversial pick.
This is Bayonetta.
Bayonetta. And
holding up the Bayonetta amiibo.
And she's your favorite character design?
Probably. It's really weird. And that makes it unlike a lot of other things.
Yeah. She's.
But it makes sense.
She has unusual proportions, like her limbs are very long, but it's not like super weird, I guess. It's like a fantastic normal. Somebody who looks like that could really exist.
She's got guns on her feet.
That's true.
And her clothes are her hair.
Yeah, so somebody like that could really exist.
Yep.
Yep, and all those aspects that we just listed. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting looking at character
design. What about you?
Oh, I didn't even think about it.
Just Batman.
I feel like it would be a Final Fantasy character, to be perfectly honest. You know what I really like, for no other reason than it's just adorable, is Cat Sith.
Oh, yeah.
I just like that big... it's a stuffed animal that goes into battle with you.
Yeah.
That's just cool.
You know, the artist... the concept design that I think his name is Yoshitaki Amano. What's his name?
The Final Fantasy character designer.
Yeah. Yoshitaka. Was it Yoshitaka?
Yeah.
Yoshitaka Amano. His artwork on just about everything is good. Not even just video games. It's fantasy art that I love, and it's so detailed and great.
Yeah, he's an artist who also does character designs. Yes, Aaron.
This is Josh's favorite right here.
My Cloud. Least favorite.
Cloud.
It's Advent Children Cloud amiibo.
Although that is my favorite Cloud, yes.
If you're going to have to pick cloud. A Cloud.
If I have to pick a Cloud, it is Advent Children Cloud is my favorite.
I think that in an RPG, what I look for, the biggest turnoffs is how does he interact with the environment? So if you take a game like, if the art can be really good, and it could run very well, for example, Saga Frontier, but because the characters don't really interact with the environment, they're just a cutout drawn to look 3D character on a flat surface, and it looks like it slides on the surface when they move, I hate that. So I know Children of Mana kind of does it a little bit, but it doesn't look as bad as that. And then, so that's where you're going to go wrong if you...
In the future, that's where you're going to go wrong.
If my standards are all about running. The character running and walking.
Yeah, that's all about character animation.
Do not play Mass Effect Andromeda if animations bug you.
Well, do not. It's not animations. It's just Ashran's Call. Good example. Your character sprints and he looks so stupid. I couldn't get over it.
That is animation.
Do not play Mass Effect Andromeda if running and walking animations bug you, because there's no effort put into those.
Is it?
Like, I'm not as picky as you when it comes to that, but even like I was playing Andromeda before this podcast and it was bugging me. I was like, I made like this little cylindrical bridge. This like alien technology kind of makes things like matter form out of nothing, and you can like walk, and it's like this cylinder bridge. And just the way my writer was like walking across it, and she's like stumbling around, and she's like walking like a Porky Pig from like 1930s Warner Brothers cartoon. It's like, what is this? It was like, come on, BioWare, man.
But that was just the moment. It wasn't the default.
It is the default, though. It's like the default is so stiff. It looks like she's never been able to move her back in any kind of like forward or anything. It's just like, it's like they put a metal rod in her back, and she's just like the most like.
It's the exosuits.
Upright person.
Look, Mike, it was a tragic accident, and they did what they could to salvage her back, but it just meant they had to put a metal rod in there.
Josh is Mass Effect Andromeda fan fiction.
I'm an apologist.
What they did was they did motion capture on a paralyzed person. Same much.
So have you sworn off Mass Effect now, Mike?
So I'm like 15-16 hours in, and I got to a new planet, and I was kind of getting into it, and now I'm just going back to the same kind of alien structures that were in the previous planet, and I have to like find some control panel in the middle of this structure, and the map in this game is terrible, and there's no mini map, and there's no like guide or anything, kind of like in Destiny, for example. You can pull out your little robot companion, and he can show you like a path to get somewhere, so you know you don't get stuck getting lost. Because unlike Zelda, getting lost in a lot of these open world games is not actually fun. And it is especially not fun in Mass Effect Andromeda, where running around and looking at writers just janky animations and the frame rate dipping all over the place. I just want to get to my destination. I just want to get to the next story point. And the game's just not letting me, and I was falling asleep. And I only spent $20 on it, and last night...
Justification again.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, I would feel a little, probably worse if I had spent the full 60.
Yeah.
You know? And like 16 hours for $20, that's like, I can get some value out of that. But like 16 hours for 60 for an RPG like that, that's so like repetitive, it
But Mike, you didn't get 16 good hours out of it.
No, I probably got like, you know, like 8 or 9. There's been some good. There's been some good moments. I mean, it's just not consistent. And I probably watched the Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age launch trailer last night on my PS4 like 5 times in a row because it's like the coolest Final Fantasy trailer ever. And as I was playing Mass Effect today, I was just thinking, I was like, man, I just want to play Final Fantasy. And especially because I was watching Brandon play Final Fantasy 14, and I commanded Brandon to play a dungeon so I could sit and watch. I didn't command, I asked. But and I watched Brandon run through an instance, and it was super cool. And I was like, man, this looks so awesome. And you know, at first we thought one of his group members was going to be rude, but then she turned out to be super nice and helped Brandon because he'd never been in this dungeon before, and she told him what to do.
Very
supportive. Yeah,
I'll explain, I guess, when
it's But the combat looked really neat, and just all the activities. And then like Brandon went to this player hub, and just seeing all the different characters there. And then I saw like, what was it that I thought was super cool? Oh, it was like this like little critter thing that looked like a Pikachu or something, and it was glowing. And I was like, oh, Brandon, what? Yeah, it was a summon. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, it's a summon. I'm like, oh, I got to be a summoner in this, because like, summoners are the coolest thing in Final Fantasy. But I've been painting a lot. Like, that's kind of becoming like a big focus. I have these figures that I really want to get done. So I don't want to start like an MMO because they're so time consuming. That if I start Final Fantasy, but they are though, because like I'll want to keep up with you because the whole point is to play with friends.
But yeah, don't worry about keeping up because everything level syncs.
I know, but that doesn't mean that you'll want to go and run through that stuff again.
Yes, because it benefits you.
Oh, okay. Well then,
yeah,
we should all play Final Fantasy 14 because it looks absolutely amazing. It looks so good. Like, it has made me forget about Destiny 2 because everything I see about Final Fantasy 14 is kind of what I've been wanting. Like, the combat's like super fast. The dungeon has the dungeon finder, and it was very quick. And, you know, the early impressions of the community, which I know has a bad rap, but like from what I've seen, it's been really good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
It's Final Fantasy, and it's got awesome music. But anyways, music's like, real good. Since I don't want to invest too much time in that, I've been just staring at Final Fantasy 12 because it's my third favorite Final Fantasy, and it's been so long since I played it, and I technically never finished it. I got to the very end, and I just watched the ending on YouTube like a year later. But I really want to go back and play it because it's such a good Final Fantasy, and it's so different. And they've added like an autosave feature, so you don't have to like spend so like... Because like that was one of the problems with the original game, is that the only way you could save is through save crystals, and they were always so far apart from each other. So you had to like dedicate a bunch of time. But now it's got an autosave feature, so it takes care of that. And you can speed through all the grinding stuff and just get to the good stuff, which is like seeing Balthier and Fran get up to get themselves into trouble. And Ash be like the coolest female Final Fantasy character in the series, outside of maybe Terra.
Brandon, it was brought up, so why don't you tell us a little bit more about Final Fantasy 14? How you been doing on there?
Well, it's been quite a chore. I've been playing... I play it every day.
Uh-huh.
I went from playing it frequently to now I hop on every day. There's always something to do, even at my level. So you can join kind of a grand company.
Mm-hmm.
It's military, and they're always asking for supplies and provision, and they ask for new stuff every 24 hours. So I like to do that just for fun. It's like a daily little challenge. I've been working a lot on weaving. So mm-hmm. I now don't look like a sweatshop worker, because I originally looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
I had hempen gear, and I looked very poor as a weaver. Mm-hmm. But now I'm a level 32 weaver, and I'm dressed in silk, handmade silk. I mean, I'm hot stuff. So
it's very dandy.
That, and then I picked up botany and mining, because I've got to the point where I now need things from other gathering or skill, other disciples of the hand, they call it. And I don't want to spend money because it's expensive.
Brandon, I have some bad news for you. The hand is a villainous organization.
No, not this, though. And so that's been fun. I mean, I've been doing that.
How was that instance that Mike watched you run through?
So I'm a monk, mm-hmm. a job. I went from a pugilist to a monk. So you can kind of take on jobs after you hit level 30. And this is hand-to-hand combat. So as a monk, I went in there, DPS, and it was a sunken temple. It was a new dungeon I hadn't gone into. But Mike wanted to see one. I'm like, oh, I haven't done this one. And I had unlocked it. And we got to a mid-boss, and it was a big demon guy. And ever so often, he would do this AoE, area of effect, that casts Doom on me. And anyone who plays Final Fantasy, Doom is... if Doom counts down and it hits zero, you're dead.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, sometimes there's not much you can do. And in this, there's nothing you can do. Apparently there is, but I didn't know. So I kept getting Doom on me and I kept dying. And then eventually the whole party wiped. And oh, one of the characters was dressed as a pig too.
Yeah, that's right. Your tank was a pig.
Yeah. Dressed as a pig. Just a full blown porky pig.
Yep.
Looking thing.
Big fat suit.
And,
curly tail.
That was the tank. And I guess there's these glowing plates, and you have to jump on the glowing plate by the time the Doom counts down. Otherwise, you know, you'll die from the Doom.
Oh.
So the player had to describe it to me. She, you know, it's like, you've never done this one? I'm like, of course not. I've never done it. Because when you go into a dungeon, it'll say one of the party members is new to this dungeon. You'll get a little bonus. So that usually says, hey, by the way, someone's new here.
Yeah. And you better tell them what to do, otherwise your party's going to wipe.
Yep. Apparently. Well, I don't know if it was the tank or the healer. The healer either wasn't that good, or the tank was just, because he was dressed as a pig, was very squishy.
Was just a little piggy.
Yeah. So, I mean, they could have probably handled me dying, but, I mean, eventually everyone got Doom and died. So, you know, there was a couple fights. Then we fought this Egyptian... a stone golem thing.
Yeah, and he was super cool.
And then just crazy stuff was happening. There was glowing plates. There was blocks that were jumping at us or me. And then there was these onks that were shooting light. And we were trying not to get caught in the light. And I don't know. I didn't know what was going on. So I'm like, I'm just going to follow everybody. I don't know what's happening. But we beat it. And so, yeah. And then right before I hopped on, I got the 30 level fishing quest, which was I had to catch 10 full moon sardines, which you can only be caught in this one area at night. So maybe even during a full moon, I don't know, but it was a full moon when I was fishing. And luckily, I don't know if I would have completed it if Mike wasn't delaying us, because I said, oh, great, I can go in there. Oh, it's nighttime. Let me fish for these. So I was able to get all 10 before we podcast.
Nice.
So, yeah, I've been enjoying it, loving it.
It looks so good. I want to play it so bad.
Yeah. I left my free company, too. It was the guild I was in.
Yeah.
I was just kind of... just... they're benefiting me. Benefiting from me. And there's really the high-level people on, and they weren't really charitable. I'm like, there's no incentive for me being in here.
Yeah.
Might as well just join one that's bigger and more active. And originally, I joined them because he was, you know, he had actually was communicating with me. Because usually you'll just get an invite and be like, join my free company. I'm like, who are you? What are you about? I mean, I can look at the cover, but like, at least, you know, sell it to me or something. So, but yeah.
I want to play it.
Yeah, and I'm still a base game. I'm not even ready for expansions. I think you need to beat the main story to get to the...
If you buy expansion. The $60 version of the game... I think they give you a token where you can level one of your characters to max.
That is correct.
But that is not
to max, to 60 or something.
Okay, but you get to skip at least the Realm Reborn stuff.
But yes. From what I hear, the story of Final Fantasy XIV is a big draw, so
yes.
Why would you skip it?
Well, exactly. Well, the great thing about this is you make one character and you can do everything. You don't need to lose any progress from anything. Yeah. So you can technically make a character level one job or class to 60 and then just start from level one on another one and just go through the story that way too. I mean, that's what I would do because I'm going to get 70 and everything.
Yeah.
So in the year 2020, I will be ready.
I mean, last night when I was watching the 12 trailer,
mm-hmm.
I was also looking at the 1999 beginner edition of 14 and I'm 14. Just like, oh, it's like both of these, I want to play both of them so bad. Like I just really want to play Final Fantasy right now.
Well, avoid 14 if you, you know, because
value your life.
I know that's,
this is
that's
the first
thing.
One since WoW that's really captured my attention.
And I guarantee you that it, right. And I guarantee you it would do the same for me, but like I would be really super tempted if like, you know, the four of us played it with like Jen and, you know, and some other friends of ours
mm-hmm.
and had our own little Game Rushmore guild. And because like running through a dungeon with randoms can be fun, but running through a dungeon with a group of friends is like an experience that is unmatched in video games. Mm-hmm. Like that's
yeah.
so much. I had so much fun in World of Warcraft when our guild consisted of just friends from our workplace and I knew everybody and we could just fill an entire group of five with people that I knew and we could just all horse around and laugh and talk and no hurt feelings and no one was mad because we're all figuring it out at the same time.
We're just all going at our own pace and having fun.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I would love that to have that experience in Final Fantasy 14 because like there's a lot of things about it that I feel like it's the first game that I've seen that actually does it better than World of Warcraft. And the fact that it's Final Fantasy is like even more appealing. You know, it's like you have this great MMO where they've learned a lot of lessons from what they've yeah. done and from what WoW has done. And is, they've made it really good. And then they tack on like one of my favorite gaming licenses ever. And it's just a big nostalgia fest. You know, it's like, oh, these chocobos and the Moogles and all this cool stuff.
Yeah. And to this day, I still see things, mounts, armor, costumes, effects, all sorts of stuff that I've never seen before. I'm like, what is that? How do you, I mean, the weirdest things, I think I was telling Mike, I saw someone riding in a seat and instead of balloons, it was firebombs, like fireball bombs. Floating him.
Bombs.
Bombs.
I was trying to remember what the name of those things are.
Yeah, bombs. And then I've seen a big fat someone riding on a fat chocobo chick and then holding a like a carrot or something in front with a stick. And then they're just like running around in that. And then I've seen a big hot air balloon in a puffed up Moogle.
It's a lot of fat things in
here. Well, yeah, a lot of cute adorable looking things. And then the Okami Wolf. I've seen dragons. I've seen.
And the machines from Final Fantasy VI. Those people running around in those. Because when you ran into that little player hub, I was like, the first thing I was like, oh, Brandon, what's that? And you're like, that's a mountain. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Just the weirdest stuff. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's just, I want to covet everything in that game. I want that.
Aaron, what should I do if I'm kind of done with Andromeda? Should I play 12 or should I play 14 or should I just get both? I don't think I could play both though.
Get 14.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you play it?
Maybe. It would give Jen an excuse to get it too.
It looks really nice on PC. Easy Allies did the review of the new one. Is that Heaven's Ward is the new one?
No, Stormblood.
Stormblood. And just seeing it run in like max settings at 60 was like, oh man, I don't really care. I could get it for PS4, but
what's the monthly on it?
The first 30 days is free, and then it's $14.99.
Yep, worth every penny. And I say that because you get a lot of content and it's great.
It's like buying a $15 game and you're still playing it for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah. I've hit 90 and I don't even know if I've hit
90 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like I said, I log in every day. And I mean, I could have fun just weaving. I don't know what it is, but
is that where you're just kind of like waving in the air or something? I walked by your door and like your character was just going into the air doing stuff. And I was like, all right.
Going into, you mean my hands were going up?
Yeah, I guess.
I was doing skills and before I was weaving because it's, you actually have to, there's a strategy because you have to balance the percentage of making something high quality, using high quality items. And then you have skills and then you're, it's a numbers game, and I'd have to show you. I was showing Mike, but that it's now I'm a huge fan of that job game for the 3DS Fantasy Life.
Fantasy Life.
This is a better Fantasy Life because you could literally be a weaver, and that's all you can, you know, you can make a living.
You can even say it's the final Fantasy Life.
Yes, the final, and it's got its own story. Quests and all I sorts hear of that stuff.
It's the best story Final Fantasy has had in like forever. Like it's a good story. That's what I hear.
It's yeah. I mean, it's good. It's not thrilling and compelling.
I think it's good for an RPG for a MMO maybe.
Yeah, I mean it brings up some good moments that make you think, like political agendas and that sort of thing, but. I mean, I could sit here and just do quests, and I'm trying to fight the next trial, the next summon thing, because the summons in this are bad, but they're called something else. I forgot. No, I can't think of what they're called, but I'm trying to fight the next one, and this guy keeps giving me errands, you know, MMO errands. I need you to go hand out this cake to this my five soldiers out there to show that, you know, so.
They like cake. Go eat this cake.
Typical MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business.
And, you know, I mean, some of it's pretty good. There's one, and some of them are pretty funny. Like, there's one where this guy was pretending to be someone who I was trying to find, and he was just a lumberjack. He wasn't anything special. And then he ends up, fast forward, we get put to a test where we're both trying to whittle down this rock. And you're sitting there timed. And, of course, your rock is five times larger than his. And then he's trying to interfere with you while you're trying to. It's just funny. Like, he's sitting there hacking at his rock with his axe. And then he turns to you and he does some crazy move to stun you. And he's just like, and then he ends up putting a bomb at the very end. He's putting a bomb by it, and he's running away. And you have to actually destroy the bomb because I let the bomb go off. I thought I could beat the bomb, but the bomb killed me.
Hubris.
It's like,
hubris.
But, you know, it's got some laughs. Some chuckles.
Is there anything else? No, that's pretty much all you've been playing, right?
I wouldn't recommend it to play for the story alone because... it would take you, you know, a long, long time to play through the story. Just like it's taking me a long, long time to play through the story. The story's good, but you ain't going to get any conclusion anytime soon.
Right.
It's an MMO. Yeah. You're collecting crystals and you're slowly, impacting the nations and you're becoming a hero, which is kind of cool. And, yeah.
Is there anything else you've been?
I've been fishing, and in Final Fantasy. No, I haven't been playing
outside
anything.
Outside of Final Fantasy. I was like, what fishing game have you been playing?
No, it has stolen all of my attention. I think the only thing that's going to take me away from it is possibly the new Shadow of Mordor game. But even that, I may hold off.
That got delayed again, so that's not going out until October. Yeah,
they're going to hold off from you. They know.
Okay, that's fine by me.
Comes out the same day as the Xbox One X now, so October 10th.
Then, if not that, then definitely the next game I'll buy will be Heavensward. And then after that, Stormblood.
Oh, no Destiny 2?
I don't know, maybe.
Beta was really fun.
I want to get it, but...
There's no weaving, so he's not enticed.
Yeah, yeah, but you just play it with Wyatt and I mean, like...
But $60
for no weaving?
That's true. Touché, Brandon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I plan on getting it. I plan on playing it, but I need to slow down from Final Fantasy, and right now that's not happening.
But for $60, he could get 4 more months of Final Fantasy.
That's true. I haven't even gone through my first month, I think.
Yeah. Mike, was there anything else that you have been playing that you wanted to talk
about?
Nothing
that anyone wants to hear. Oh, Doomfist. No. I forgot. I keep thinking, because I've been practicing Cammy on Street Fighter V, because Ryu's been nerfed in the ground. Anyways, that's a whole other thing.
It's about time.
Yeah. He's been nerfed since launch, but Cammy's just cool. Anyways, so Doomfist came out for Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like him very much.
Oh. That's an unpopular opinion.
It's a new Hanzo.
I mean, no, I think he's a cool character, but he falls in the kind of Genji sort of playstyle, where he's very elusive and jumpy, and he kind of uses his abilities to get in and out of situations.
Mm-hmm. And to heal himself.
And to...
Or armor himself, I guess.
He's got shields, I think.
You
know, like Genji, I think he's an awesome character, but he's just not my playstyle. And from what little I played of Doomfist, he's just not my playstyle. So, I mean, I did only play him for a little bit because every match I go into, he gets picked. So, and they do have like a 6v6, like Doomfist, everyone's Doomfist elimination.
Yeah.
Because it's just a way of like, all right, everybody, get this out of your system. Go play the new character.
Should be 5v5, not 6v6.
It's always 6v6.
But five, you know, five fingers against five fingers.
One for each finger.
Yeah.
Aaron, have you gotten in on the Doomfist since released?
Not since release.
No.
Okay. But I mean, I think he's a really cool character, and I like him. He's a real pain to go against sometimes, like when I'm Reinhardt and I got my shield up, and I'm like, oh, look at this Doomfist, and I'm like, oh no, he's charging his fist, and then he punches me, and I go flying away, and I have like no health left. And
yeah, because he can punch through shields.
Yeah, yeah. He seems really good. Like, the people who understand him, much like Genji, are really good with him.
Mm.
But I was never good with Genji.
And I think he seems a lot easier to pick up than Genji would be. A lot easier to be effective.
Yeah. Well, his attacks overall are more damaging. Like Genji, his ninja stars are not actually that damaging, unless if you're just doing headshots. So you have to be very precise with Genji.
I feel like with Doomfist, it's a lot easier to see what you're doing than with Genji. Like Genji, half the time, if you're spectating a Genji or playing a Genji, it's like, I don't know what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, but like Doomfist, though, he's got like his Shoryuken. So you'll be fighting him, and then the next thing you know, you're like, oh, where'd he go? And then he's up above you, and then he's got like this like dive fist thing, and his ult isn't as scary as Genji's for sure. Like, he's got this meteor strike where he like launches up, and then there's like this little laser targeting thing, and it he comes slamming down, and it creates like an AoE blast. But if you're within the AoE part of it, you just take damage and are knocked back. You only really get one shot at if he's actually like directly lands on you. But along with him came a bunch of changes. And so Roadhog got a huge nerf. So he can't use his chain hook and then immediately kill you with a shotgun anymore.
At all?
At all.
Oh.
So his shotgun doesn't do as much damage. So Blizzard wants to eliminate easy one-shot kills. And that was the easiest one-shot kill in the game. Like, mm-hmm. You hook, pull him in, shotgun dead. Like, I'm pretty sure you can still do it to Tracer and stuff, but...
I was going to say, they've nerfed that before, I think. Or at least they changed the
hooking. They changed the properties of it. Like, some people call it a nerf, but it was actually, I think it was a buff, because like Lucio could be jumping around, or like Tracer could be doing Tracer things, and you would hook her or Lucio, but because they were in mid-motion, you wouldn't pull them directly in front of you. So then when you shot them with your shotgun, they were off-center, so you couldn't get them with the full blast.
Mm.
Then they changed it so that no matter where they are, as long as you hook them, they'll always come straight to you.
Mm.
So then you could get them. But that's actually a welcome change, because Roadhog is real annoying. And another, McCree got like a buff. So like similar to the thing I was telling you about with Roadhog's chain hook, where you could hook a tracer or somebody in motion and it wouldn't pull them directly in. With McCree's flashbang, it would be the same thing. You would flashbang somebody to stun them, but then they would still be sliding because they were in motion, and then you couldn't fan the hammer. So they eliminated that. So McCree now is just insane. Like, because you can instantly stop anybody in mid-motion, he's so good. Like, I was having a lot of... I played way too much last night, and I was having so much fun with McCree because he's, like, easy mode now. And I'm pretty sure they increased the damage on his fan the hammer, too, because, like, I was just wasting tanks. Like, he almost feels like he did at launch, where you could stun, fan the hammer, and take out anybody. It's not quite that, but, like, I was getting Roadhogs, like, within just a couple bars of health, or I was, like, killing Reinhardts. I think there were some other changes, but those were kind of the two that stuck out the most to me.
Hmm. Yeah, there's also some interactions and stuff that they added, so.
Yeah.
Interesting. Has there been anything else you've been putting your time in?
Nope.
Aaron Lopez.
What's up?
What have you been playing?
Still playing Splatoon 2. Finally got to play Salmon Run mode, which is like the horde mode that they added for this version.
Mm-hmm. How do you like it?
It's really fun, but it's sometimes frustrating because when you do the matchmaking, you don't choose what weapons you use. So you just kind of randomly thrown in with like one of four weapons each round. And if it's like something like the Gatling gun that takes some time to charge up before you use it, I'll die like every time because I'm just not good with it. And so that's kind of weird. But I think if you play with friends, you can play it with whatever weapons you want. But the really weird thing is that they segment times for you to be able to do it. So it'll be something like 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can do Salmon Run, and then you go up to the place where you select it, and it's like closed. The store shop is closed.
That's weird.
Hours of business.
5 a.m. to 5 p.m. local time?
No, it's different times, I think. That's just an example.
Oh, okay. That's so weird. What if you're at work?
Yeah.
You gotta prioritize your life to...
Excuse me, sir. I have to take the day off today. I want to run the Salmon Run.
I gotta start working nights because I'm missing the Salmon Run.
Can I change my shift? I'm really missing good peak salmon hours.
I want to say they changed the times, but I'm not sure.
All right. What else have you been playing?
And then I've also been playing more Fortnite. Mm-hmm. Still enjoying it.
Still like it.
Haven't spent any money again, but it still feels like I'm getting this steady supply of stuff.
That's what I was going to ask about. Like, how is its loot system? Is it? It feels robust. It feels like you're actually getting things. Not like you get one penny, but it takes 1,000 pennies to do something.
I can see it drying up eventually because certain quests will be, early on they'll be earn 100 coins, and then you can use those coins to get a loot box essentially. But then as the quests progress, they start to be like, oh, get 50 instead of 100. And then the quests start taking a little bit more to do. So, like, maybe it's like complete four missions for the daily quest, and you'll get 50 coins. And then you'll do it again, and it's like complete more missions. So, like, you know, five missions, seven missions. So, I don't know how they handle that in the later game. But the actual main story is kind of segmented in different areas of the map. You have like a home base that you will build up sometimes, And you build that up, and then after you reach the end of the storyline missions, you'll move on to a new area, it looks like. And so I don't know how that affects anything or if it changes anything up, because I've invested a ton of time in it so far, and I'm still in this first area.
So I heard that the menus in that game are cumbersome and confusing. Do you find that to be the case?
They can be confusing because I don't think they do a great job saying what exactly everything does and like why it's important. But it's also, there's a lot of it. As far as cumbersome, I don't think so on PC, but on PS4, I could see that being cumbersome because it's a lot of, you know, going into things and, you know, selecting to get into another, you know, subset of items.
One menu to go into another menu kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, on PS4, which I've played a little bit on since, if you buy it on PC, you get a copy on PS4. Then, you have to, like, you know, navigate with the cursor to go down certain levels. You're scrolling through different tabs with the shoulder buttons. So I could see that being a little bit more cumbersome, and it might actually benefit from something like a Destiny-style cursor system.
But does it take away from the experience of playing the game, do you think? Does it, like, hinder your enjoyment?
It doesn't hinder my enjoyment on PC.
But like you said, on
PS4. On PS4, it can be a little annoying.
Anything else you've been playing?
The main thing, or the newest thing I've been playing, has been Fortnite, but I've actually played something new this week, and it was the Lawbreakers open beta.
And go ahead and explain Lawbreakers, because I always forget what it is.
Lawbreakers is another hero-based competitive shooter, and it's by Bosskey. Which is founded by Cliffy B, who is former Epic, who made Fortnite.
Oh.
So, it's...
Does it play like Fortnite?
No. It's kind of like an Overwatch, where you play a lot of objective matches. There's like a capture the flag type mode, or...
it's like just area different control too, right?
Controlling points, but... the movement and kind of aerial abilities is what makes it kind of special. It has a big focus on, you know, momentum, and everyone has like 3 jumps they can do in the air, or some people can just straight up fly after a certain amount of time. So it's really fast-paced.
It kind of looks like Overwatch meets Unreal Tournament.
Yeah.
Like, it has that crazy Twitch arena shooter aspect to it, and it's kind of got, like, that Cliffy B military, you know, Unreal kind of look to it, but then it's got, like, the characters, like, Overwatch, where it's like, oh, here's your Mercy-type character, and here's, like, your... that type.
Yeah, thing. But what's weird is that it focuses more on the class, because there's like 8 or so character archetypes. So like, here's the class that you know, can slide and then, you know, shoot knives, and here's the class that has the shotgun and can build shields. But depending on whether you're the blue team or the red team, they're the different factions, and so there's 2 different characters you could be when you select a class, depending on what faction you get assigned to. So on Overwatch, you know, you can get into a character and think they're a cool character, but in this, it's less about the character, and it's more about the class, because you don't necessarily get to choose whether or not you play on the good side or the bad side.
Okay.
So you're not like a character fan. It's just like, I like playing the guy who slides. And it could just be one of two different people that do that.
Exactly. And I really wish the character designs were better because they're really ugly.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one thing that kind of like stood out to me too, because I was watching somebody on Twitch play it, and I don't know how I feel about it. Of course, I can't really say one way or the other because I haven't played it, but like aesthetically, it's like, man, it's like maybe I'm just spoiled on Overwatch's just awesome looks, but it just looks generic. I mean, because that's always been kind of the thing with like Unreal, is that it's supposed to be kind of like a generic, like we're pulling all these criminals and miners and everything from all these different planets and they're going to fight in this arena. And so it's just kind of like everything in the kitchen sink kind of look. And the characters in this, like there's nothing about them where I'm like, oh, that looks like iconic, or this, that's what makes this game stand apart visually than other things. But
and they'll like talk,
oh man,
while you play.
Oh, the medic is so annoying.
Their way of like introducing personality into these characters just ends up making them all seem like assholes.
It is a Cliffy B game, so I mean, you know, Gears of War.
Yeah,
he's the father of Baird, so all the Gears of War characters are kind of a-holes.
But I've mildly enjoyed my time playing the beta.
Yeah.
But it's going to be only like $30 when it comes out, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think it will stick around?
Ooh.
I've seen the Steam numbers and it's not good. It's not like, it's such a small company and it's like, it needs some advertising or some kind of like way to grab the public.
It needs a fan base is what it needs.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, you got a way of growing that, and it's like, I hope they do like free weekends, and they really need to push it on like the Steam homepage. I don't know if that's even up to them to do that or not, but like, or just buy little, you know, Google banner ads or something, because like, I mean, I wouldn't even have known about this had it not, you know, been through like NeoGAF or something, just having a thread to it. Because I've never seen IGN talk about it or any of the big websites, or like, I don't get it recommended on YouTube to check it out, even though, you know, it recommends other competitive shooters.
I'm almost positive I've seen it mentioned in other podcasts and stuff, but I can never remember if it's this game or like one of the other games.
Yeah.
Or like one of the like there's a few, I mean, character shooters out there right
that
now.
That's the thing. It's like you raise a good point, is that, and it also goes back to what I was saying about like its aesthetic, is it just doesn't have like a visual style that like immediately grabs you, because like Epic is also developing a brand new Unreal tournament, and I mean, like I've seen it, and it's like these arenas look pretty similar, and like these characters kind of, and then there's the Quake coming out too, the Quake Champions, which also has that aesthetic to it. But you
Quake Champions looks, as far as like from a character design's perspective, it looks way better than Lawbreakers.
Yes, it does. But that's the thing. So it's like, I mean, Unreal has already been established since 1998. And so like people are familiar with that, and it's just like, this is just more of that, but even somehow more generic. And you know, I do think that a lot of Overwatch's success is, you know, you watch a trailer or something for it and those characters just pop out so much, and it's like, oh man, look how cool Reaper looks, or like, look how cool Reinhardt looks.
It's interesting because its success is a lot built on something that does not exist in the game, which was just a cool character and story, and like those people are in the game, but like it doesn't progress in any sort of story. It's really interesting that, because they once you get there, it's fun to play. You're like, oh, I like playing Tracer. I like Tracer as a character, and because I like Tracer as a character, I like playing Tracer.
Yeah.
And this game's fun to play. So, all right, I'm Tracer.
It looks like it was based on, you know, some old TV show that everyone loved. With all these characters.
That didn't exist.
That's
exactly what they...
They have built-in nostalgia, even though there's nothing exists for that nostalgia. That's exactly correct.
But, like, from what I've seen, I mean, I don't want to completely throw Lawbreakers under the bus. Like, I want it to be successful because it does look like something I would enjoy playing. But from watching it, like, on Twitch, there's nothing about it that makes me go, well, if I have this and I have Overwatch, like, why would I play this Overwatch? Or, like, Unreal Tournament is coming out soonish and it will be free to play. And it's like, and I love Unreal Tournament. It's like, why would I just not wait for Unreal Tournament, you know? So hopefully it finds its audience. But
Josh.
Yeah.
I want you to Google search Lawbreakers Faust, F-A-U-S-T, and show everyone this character. And just take a good look at it. And if you're listening to this, I encourage you to do this as well.
Oh, boy.
Faust.
Look at this doofus.
Yeah. So what this guy... Let me see, Mike. Okay, so this is a bald guy, a white bald guy, and he's got a visor that makes him look like a hammerhead shark. And he's got a long trench coat, and he looks... Yeah...
No, he's like one of those guys that buys the umbrella hat, you know, when it's not raining outside, just to protect them from sun.
So when you play this guy, can you just not see while you play?
Like, yeah,
I don't know how any of that's supposed to work.
Yeah, just none of these characters.
I think I see also like his mirror character.
Yeah.
Who looks similarly generic. Just not generic, just ridiculous, but in different ways.
It's got weird stuff on his head.
Yeah, he's got like a helmet that it comes around the sides around his mouth instead of on his eyes.
I mean, they're definitely filling the roles. I mean, here's this ninja guy. There's Farrah looking lady. There's this guy's Reaper, I guess.
I will say that it doesn't play like Overwatch or anything. Like
no,
that.
No. Yeah, yeah.
But it probably will play like
they don't
Unreal Tournament.
The characters. No, because Unreal, it's all, everyone's kind of the same.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it is unfair to kind of like judge it, but it kind of sets itself up for some of this stuff too, you know? Because it's like, there's nothing about it. Like, yeah.
Like when you look at Overwatch, you can see the characters and you could see what they do. Like you can look at it and be like, I know what this character does. It's a big gorilla, probably goes around hitting people.
Yeah.
Or it's Farrah. It's got jetpacks. It's got a rocket launcher. But this looks like it's a bunch of Ferris. Like, what do they? None of the characters tell me what they are or what they do.
This guy has armor and gritty, and he has a gun. Okay, and this guy armor, gritty, gun. Okay, yeah.
This one's a female, different armor, gritty and a gun.
Gritty and a gun.
Gentlemen, I must excuse myself.
Well, I think we can wrap up. Actually,
oh okay.
Mike's offended.
Then I'll still excuse myself, but this was fun.
But yeah. So, Aaron, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
No, that's it.
Cool. Well, GameRushmore.OnSundayRoad.com is where you can find our podcast, at GameRushmore on Twitter, GameRushmore@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments. On Southern Road on Facebook is where you can find us. Comment, question, give us money somehow. I don't know. Why not?
Give us money somehow.
Hey, if for you what? Feel like just throwing money at us, go for it. We will McDonald's, Wendy's, if you want to advertise. Us. Yeah.
I am willing to sponsor Diet Mountain Dew.
You are going to sponsor the company?
I'd be willing to. No. I'm willing to accept them as a sponsor is what I meant to say.
You currently sponsor them by buying a giant case of Diet Mountain Dew every week, month?
A week, and I'm willing to because I like the product, and I'm still alive. So
yeah, that's something.
All that aspartame or whatever they talk about, detrimental to your health.
That's something, folks. He's still alive. A resounding endorsement.
Enjoy my video games.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
and talk to your mic.
Hello, hello. This is me talking into my mic.
Brandon Becker.
That's Mike talking into his mic.
Brandon Becker.
That's Mike continuing to talk, albeit him not supposed to be talking. It's me. Trying to steal the spotlight. It's Mike.
And Brandon Becker.
That's right.